And be seated. Thank you. Take your Bibles, open to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation, the 7th chapter. And lesson number 20. We do have lesson 21 available. If you would like that, we could get to that today. I doubt it, but we could. It's always possible. Miracles do happen. But anyway, if you need lesson 20 or lesson 21, raise your hand, and ushers will bring you one of those. All right, we have some needing those. Lesson 20 and lesson 21. Lesson 20, the answer to the question. And the question was, who shall be able to stand? Ending chapter 6. Who shall be able to stand? And then chapter 7, we get the answer to the question. Commentators will call this a parenthetical section or a parenthesis. Now, I say that for Brother Jim Collins, even though he's not here. He wants me to, we talk about that all the time. I've been calling it a timeout. That's from coaching basketball, but it is a parenthesis. It is a, you could call it a parentheses or a pause, but in reality, I even more so, I like to refer to it as the answer to the question, because it is a great description. Okay, who shall be able to stand? Well, the ones who are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be able to stand, because we do not face the wrath of God, because Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself when he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And praise the Lord, we don't have to face his wrath, and we never will face his wrath. Hallelujah. Revelation 7:14 is our memory verse for lesson number 20, and it is very, very possible this will be the last time we'll be saying it together, because we should finish today. But again, you never know how that's going to go. So let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. And again, Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. Thank you so much, Father, for the time we can spend studying your word. I pray it'll be a profitable time for each of us. I pray you'll guide us now through the scripture, and Lord, that as a result, our lives will be different because of this time, and Lord, that we'll learn some things that'll help us, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. It has been a very eventful week for our study of Revelation, as we had the comet passing so close, 17,000 miles. That is close. I mean, that's something that certainly was causing a lot of attention. And 17,000 miles away, being the closest, I don't remember. Does anybody know how long ago one was that close? I don't remember now. I know I heard that, and that one, pretty good size, would have caused all kinds of problems. But then the meteorite, whatever they want to call that, in Russia, how many got to see some video of that? Now, just try to, again, imagine. Those people, imagine their shock, and several thousand people injured, but had that hit a city, it's exactly what we talked about. In fact, they're already talking about it, nuclear proportion damage, but of course it was so many miles in the sky when it exploded. Just hard to even imagine. I think they said 30,000 miles per hour, 29,000, something like that. But again, you know, just what we've been talking about, the damage that will take place on this earth when God's wrath is poured out. It's just hard for us to imagine. And, you know, and there's nothing anybody can do. What are you going to do? How do you stop that? I was watching a video, and, you know, it's coming across the sky, and what's anybody going to do? They can't stop that. They can't do anything. And, wow, just amazing. So, interesting in our study that happened. I would encourage you maybe to look some things up. Now, I would be very careful about too much looking up, because you will immediately run into conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory, and that was not a meteorite, it was a missile, and who launched it and why, and, you know, all those kind of things. And honestly, if you want a headache, get into all that stuff. If you'd rather avoid the headache, just stick to your Bible and know it's a bad deal. So there's all kinds of things. And then, of course, the idea that the comet passes and the meteorite, and it all happens at the same time, you know, is that a coincidence? They had nothing to do with each other, so they say. And it's just exciting. It really is. And we live in an exciting day. We really do. And I love the the way we can read our Bibles. And no, of course, you have to be real careful. I'm thinking that the last comet that hit the Earth, of course, was 65 million years ago. And that's what wiped out all the dinosaurs. And how foolish, how utterly silly is that to even... I read that and I just kind of laughed at all the people saying, oh, yeah, oh. And we know that's certainly not true. But anyway, it does give us a little head start because we have our Bibles. Amen. All right, let's go on to the subject, number three, Roman numeral three, the saved who are safe. We do know that as from reading chapter 7, that there's 144,000, 12,000 of 12 tribes that are sealed, and they are sealed with the seal of God, that they will not face the wrath of God. They'll not be injured by the events that are taking place because of the wrath of God. We know from the other sealed judgments, especially the fifth seal, that Christians will be martyred during the tribulation, and we know from that obviously there will be people saved during the tribulation, people that did not hear how to be saved before, they will be saved. There will be many millions of people saved during the tribulation time. And the 144,000, I believe, will be soul winners that are out preaching the gospel. The two witnesses, of course, will preach the gospel, and folks will get saved. Folks will trust Christ. And we talked about that. And the saved who are safe, we said in capital A, their place, verse 9, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And these are people who, obviously, these are all saved people. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about where they came from and everything in a few more points. But again, there are just, you can't even number the amount of people that are here praising the Lord. And these are common people receiving their king, raising the palms as a similarity to the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem before he's crucified. But the palm branch being a symbol of joy and triumph. And of course, the Feast of Tabernacles, thanking God for the harvest, thanking God for the fruit that he's provided. And these are obviously thanking the Lord for many, many things. You come out of the tribulation, and again, the tribulation, just imagine one meteor exploding many, many miles from the face of the earth and causing as much trouble as it did in Russia. Try to imagine what it's going to be like when nuclear bombs are going off all over the earth, and tragedy after tragedy is taking place. Man doing his thing and being evil. Then God pouring out his wrath to escape that would certainly be reason to praise the Lord. By the way, every day that goes by and your car doesn't break down and your house doesn't catch on fire and your You don't find yourself throwing up all day. And, you know, isn't that a good day? Wouldn't you say that's a good day? Isn't it a good day every, you know, Don, I think it'd be a great week this week if you don't have to go back and have Jackie back in the hospital. Wouldn't that, that'd be a good week, wouldn't it? To not see people hooked up to all the wires and taking all the pills and you know, it's, it seems like that'd be a reason we could praise the Lord. I get frustrated a lot with Christians who will say, well, you know, I just don't have anything to praise the Lord over. Wow. We have so much we could praise the Lord for, and so much that that He does for us. But the saved who are safe, their place, capital B, is their praise. In verse 10, it starts off, cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Their praise, this sight is an amazing sight, I think. These are all the saved thus far. I think about the angels. I think about them and imagine their thoughts. You know, the Bible teaches us the angels know the Bible. They study the Bible. Look, just write this down, maybe look at it, look back. 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. Just a little side note here to, because I like to think about what everybody's thinking, what everybody is considering as these kinds of things are going on. You know, all these people are here and I often think of the cross and think about the angels and how they at any given time could have stopped the crucifixion. Any given time could have been called on to, we sing the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. And in my mind, as I think we had in it might have been an Easter play or a Christmas play, I don't remember which one, but Brother Mark Letson represented an angel. And kind of gave the idea of the angels wanting to stop that whole thing. You know, why is he letting this happen? Why are these men doing this to him? And, well, the angels study the Bible. They know the Bible. 1 Peter 1, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And, you know, in my mind, I see an angel at a computer going through the Power Bible, and they're studying all this, but they look into it. They're looking into these things, and they're looking into salvation. They're looking into the Old Testament. And you know, they know all the years of sin, all the years of man going against God, all the years of man's failure, and they know God is long-suffering. And it has to frustrate them just a little bit. At least it seems like it would. But God has put up with us all these years. And now, you know, it has to be such a blessing to these angels to see these people praising the Lord. And he inhabits the praises of Israel. I preached on that many years ago. You know, he is always going to be present where we're praising him. And it amazes me, people that want God to do some great thing and they don't just praise him. People want God to do a great thing and they criticize. People want God to do a great thing, and they gripe about the weather. They gripe about the economy. They gripe. You're not going to get God's presence with criticism and griping and complaining. You're going to get God's presence with praise. And, you know, enter into his courts with praise. Amen? And so here the angels are excited. The people are excited. All are worshiping him. The angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts. They fell down before the throne on their faces and worship God. All are worshiping God together. And again, you know, we will be shocked, I think, when we get to heaven just to see all that the angels did, how involved the angels were. You know, they stop so many things from happening. And, you know, I believe that with all my heart. And now together, they're all with the saved people. They are worshiping the Lord. Verse 12, saying, amen. You know, verily, verily, truly, 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 amen. And then just an excellent little outline here of how to praise the Lord. You know, gives us some ways to praise the Lord. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Have you ever just thought about praising that? You say, oh, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Well, how about praising him for his blessings? How about praising him for all the blessings? You know, we are so blessed. How about praising him for his glory and who he is? You know, just praising him. Praising him for his wisdom. Praising him in thanksgiving and thanking him for all that he's done. Praising him for his honor and giving him the honor that is due him. We are often, I'm afraid, so casual about our God. And it is true. We can crawl up on his lap at any time and say, Daddy, I have a need. But we also need to understand that he is God Almighty. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. How about his power? Again, this little meteorite, you know, it's a speck in the hands of God Almighty. This comet that's 17,000 miles away, you know, and everybody's trembling at the thought of that thing hitting the earth. But it's just nothing. It's such a small thing. The clouds are the dust of his feet. I mean, wow, his power. The power of God. My wife and I recently discovered YouTube. I know, we're old. But I have no idea how it happened. I don't remember what all the circumstances, but we had a little iPad, and while we were down in Florida, and we found the tsunamis. And I don't know, it just somehow visited us. I don't know how all that works. But all of a sudden, we're seeing all these videos of the tsunamis, different tsunamis. Wow. And I just watched in awe as, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people just swept away. And you can't, you're not going to stop that. The power of God. Watch the ocean sometime. Well, it's tough in Michigan. But those waves just always, they just keep coming in. It just keeps coming. And you're not going to stop it. And those, that big wall of water, you know, it's just to God, that's just a little ripple. You know, he's just so powerful. And why in the world we would live our lives without him is just so foolish. He is so powerful. And so again, as you are looking for praise to God, God, you're so powerful. And of course, his might, which is so much like that, he can do anything. And he chose to send his son to die for me. He didn't have to do that. He's just an almighty God. And no matter what is going on in your life, his power, his might is able to overcome and take care of whatever it is. We have absolutely nothing to worry about. Amen, if we're trusting him. And so again, these seven types of praise, it's kind of like chapter 5 and verse 12, the praise about the Lamb. Just a great, great example of praising the Lord. And what to praise him for and how to praise him. And, you know, our time with him ought to always include, and many people would say you should start off with adoration, and that is praise, and just adoring him and talking to him about how wonderful he is. Well, here we see it, verses 10 through 12, very, very clear that there is praising going on. And again, in the back of my mind, I'm recognizing chapter 7 as being, I'm not going to say chronologically anything, because chronology in the book of Revelation can be, we don't necessarily know what order everything's following. But if in fact God's wrath is about to come, which obviously it is here, it would only make sense as I think of the angels. You know, to me, an angel might be saying, it's about time. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm amazed at what all God puts up with. You know, it just sometimes it does really amaze me. And it's not like I'm just wanting him and his wrath to take place, but I can certainly understand an angel saying, it's about time. Praise the Lord. It's about time. You know, the more and more you hear people curse God's name, the more and more we see people going against the things of God, just blatant blasphemy of the things of God, the more and more I think people are ready to say, praise the Lord, it is about time. And so as I read verses 10 through 12, that certainly comes to mind. Capital C is their past, and we deal with these all these people. The Bible says this great multitude which no man could number. And so their past, at least many of them we can see. Verse 13, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Who are they? Well, these are the ones who shall stand. These are the ones who came out of great tribulation. These are saved people. The ones, the answer to the question, the ones who shall stand are those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, the ones who are saved. The same way that we will never face the wrath of God Almighty. The same way that people that get saved during the tribulation, they will not face the wrath of God Almighty. It is because we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we will never hear the words guilty as far as our destiny is concerned, because we are not guilty because he's not guilty. And we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to, you know, praise the Lord for that and that wonderful truth. So these are they. So how'd they get saved? Well, 144,000 soul winners went soul winning. Two witnesses preached. The word of God is spreading during the tribulation, and people are getting saved. Look at Revelation 14. Revelation 14, and we've already looked at several verses because, again, I believe there are some parallels. We've already kind of talked about some of it. Revelation 14, verse 6, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them. There it is, the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And here's an angel who is preaching the everlasting gospel. And the key thing is the word of God is going forth in a great, great, mighty way, just as it should be today. Amen. I mean, it should be today, and it is going forth today, and people are getting saved today. And during the tribulation, people will hear, people will receive Christ as their Savior, and there will be so many that will come out of the tribulation with their sins forgiven because they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so praise the Lord for that. Capital D, their position. Let's go ahead and have the ushers come if they would, and we'll receive an offering. Their position, verse 15 says, therefore are they before the throne of God. Now there's a good place to be, amen? They are before the throne of God. As we watch the tribulation become greater and greater in size and scope and damage and all of that, what a great place to be before the throne of God. And what a great position to be in. The Bible says they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. What a good position to be away from the tribulation. And I want to remind you that we can have that now. You know, anytime you're going through a tough time, isn't it wonderful to know that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come right before God Almighty. We can rest. We can let Him comfort us. We can be before His throne at any time. You don't have to have an appointment. You don't have to call ahead. You don't have to make a reservation. You can just come to Him, and you can come boldly with confidence to the throne of grace. And so again, as I read this, I think, wow, what a blessing. They have come out of great tribulation. Again, I remind you folks, it's going to be something we've never seen before. All right, if you saw the meteorite and you think, wow, you know, the world's never seen anything like that before. And now with, I guess in Russia, a lot of the cars, they have little cameras because of all the government corruption. So they have cameras to video everything that kind of goes on around there. And so they've got all kinds of video shots of this thing. And people are, wow, you know, we've never seen anything like that. The tsunami in Haiti, the tsunami there in over in the Middle East, not the Middle East, but the wherever that is, the Indian Ocean. We've never seen things like that before. It's just hard to imagine. Now, the tribulation is going to be worse than any of that. It is going to be so chaotic on this earth, and to come out of that, and as I read this, I think, wow, they have got to be just absolutely thrilled. Many of them, perhaps, had their heads chopped off, you know, because of not taking the mark of the beast. I mean, we haven't even dealt with all of that, and those things are going to be happening during the tribulation. People are going to be dying. The fifth seal is the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held, and so there's, you know, they're slain. It's massacre after massacre, and they come out of that, and now they're before the throne of God. And you know, as I read that, I thought, that is what I can do every day. Doesn't matter what's going on around me. Doesn't matter what the news says. Doesn't matter what, you know, people say. It doesn't matter if I just got a nasty letter. It doesn't matter, you know, what all's going on around me. It doesn't matter how heavy the day may be with a preacher friend who died recently. And I mentioned that last week, Brother Rick Fox. And just thinking about all of that, it doesn't matter, because I can go to my Lord, and I can go to His throne. And I can kneel before Him, and I can rest in His love. And He underneath are the everlasting arms. And I can just rest, and I can lean upon Him. And we would be remiss to read this and say, wow, boy, that's going to be a great day, and not understand that great day can be today for you. That great day can be any time in my life. I can come right to the throne, and I can have the same comfort that these are going to have. I don't believe at all that this is anywhere near tribulation. We've got some problems. We've got some economical issues. We've got houses for sale. We've got threats of Muslims. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. We've got threats of our own government and rights being taken away and all those. But this is nothing compared to what that is. But okay, you feel pressure. All right, you feel alone. All right, you feel like things are bad. Then go to Him. Go to Him. Go to His throne. Kneel down and let Him comfort you as these are. Let him give you this kind of comfort. The Bible says here, and what a blessing, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And again, we read that and often say, what a day that will be. How about what a day it is? Didn't He say that where two or more gathered, He'd be in the midst? Isn't that what this says? You know, that's available to us today. That's not something we have to wait on. That's not something that, you know, doesn't He dwell in every believer? Sure He does. Well, isn't it true that if we gather together, He said He'd be in the midst of us? And the Bible says here that they're serving Him day and night. And can't we serve Him here on this earth? Of course we can. See, we get this mentality. Well, I just can't wait till. Well, you can have that now. We can have that now. We can have that today. their position. Again, this is something John saw. God said, record it. He wants us to know about it. And yet, if we just say, I'm holding on till then, we're foolish, because we can have that relationship today with our Lord. I end with capital E. That is their privilege. Verse 16 says, they shall hunger no more. So if your guts are growling now, you can understand. Never hunger again. Again, these came out of a tribulation where we read about the horsemen and the fact that there's lack of food. There's no question about that. There will be an especially large lack of food for those who trust Christ and refuse the mark of the beast, because they will not be able to buy or sell in that day, and there will be a great amount of hunger, and people will die, I believe, of hunger and thirst, because you won't be able to buy and you won't be able to sell. And if you can imagine the waters, which we'll see soon, waters are polluted and waters are poison, and there will be a lot of thirst. And again, it makes sense. We have bottled water now. Isn't that something? And you have to buy it. And if, you say, I'll just go down to the stream and drink. Well, not if the waters are all polluted. You won't. And not if the waters are, so imagine rationing. And there are people, I promise you, maybe somebody right here, who have huge amounts of water stored for what they would call these kinds of times. That is the prediction, by the way, even in the secular world, that there's going to be some event. They said it was going to be Y2K, right? Well, actually, before that, they said it was going to be the nuclear, when nuclear bombs were being the atomic bomb and all that, and everybody built bomb shelters in the 50s and 60s, right? And they stored up all this stuff because there's going to be, okay, that happened. And that talk's been going on for years and years and years. And you may have a whole pallet load of water stored up. And I know people. In fact, I know some, thinking of somebody right now who has those kinds of things. They have the little meals. They've got those all stored up and everything else for whatever the world secular idea is. But imagine when you can't get any of the food, you can't get any of the water. And these, though, one of the great privileges by the throne, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. The sun lighting on them, it would seem, is the idea of great heat. And there being, because of the thirst and everything else, that being like maybe a desert type of an atmosphere or something. But it's a perfect climate before the throne. Now, to me, that would be about 73 degrees. I'll take anything from 70 to 75-ish. Perfect. Blue sky. Anyway, perfect climate before the throne. And I don't mind it 73 degrees if it snows 70-degree snow. But I just soon it not, because then it's rain, and I don't really care for rain that much. But whatever it is, it'll be perfect, absolutely perfect. And the Bible says that the Lamb, verse 17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. He'll feed and lead. And that's a wonderful thought. You know, we'll never thirst, never hunger. Can't even imagine what that's going to be like. You know, the never hungering, because we'll eat. How do you know we'll eat? Because Jesus, in the resurrected body, he ate. He ate fish. And, and it's amazing, with that resurrected body, that body could pass through a door into a room. And which is we don't know anything about that kind of a body. But then when he ate the food, he ate it and enjoyed it, and it didn't just drop on the ground. So it's an amazing body, don't you think? Anyway, just something to think about. He'll feed and lead. And then the last thing here, and I love this, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Wipe away all tears. Now, again, what are these tears? And there's all kinds of speculation on that. Will we really cry in heaven? Well, you got to deal with some things. There are some things to deal with. The reality of what we did not do that we could have done. The reality of rewards and rewardlessness. No crowns to cast at his feet. I don't know, but the tears will all be wiped away. Praise the Lord. You certainly will not have a sense of guilt throughout eternity. That would not be heaven, right? So just something to consider, something to think about. But praise the Lord, we know he will wipe away all tears. And so we'll move into lesson 21 next week. And that is entitled The Anxious Prelude to Judgment. It chapter 8 does start off. Again, we're opening the seventh seal. And it's interesting because now we have another, not a parenthesis, but it's a pause of sorts. And to me, it is the buildup. In my mind, I see the angels whispering. You know, I see, not during the moment of silence, definitely not then. But as everything is starting to take, it's almost like God is. It's time. It's time. So anyway, if you want to read ahead, Revelation 8, verses 1 to 6 will be this passage.